وصحبه وسلم، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Last time we were talking about the Taraweeh prayer in Ramadan, and I said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the first one to start the congregation prayer of Taraweeh in his masjid. Then he left this because he did not want this prayer to be made obligatory on his nation. So after his death, there was no room to change the legislation or to make something obligatory which was not obligatory. So at the time of the Sahaba, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, people were making Taraweeh in congregation in the masjid, but there was more than one congregation in the masjid. So at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, he gathered all people to make it after one imam, one leader, and to make only one congregation in the masjid. And this has been since then. To make this Taraweeh prayer in congregation in the masjid is better, of course, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said in a two hadith that when someone makes the Taraweeh or makes the Qiyam, the same thing, Taraweeh or Qiyam, in congregation with the Imam until the Imam finishes and leaves, then he will get the reward of making the prayer all night. So this is something which should not be missed by a Muslim. That is, when he makes in the masjid with the Imam until he finishes, then he will get the reward of the all-night prayer. And this is something which is which should be considered by the faithful. And as we mentioned, that there is no set limit for the number of rak'ahs of Taraweeh, and there is no set time. You can make it at any time after the Isha prayer, either in the beginning of the night or in the middle or after midnight or later on before Fajr time. So as long as it is made before Fajr time, then it is made in the proper time. And to make it 8 rak'ahs or 20 rak'ahs or 36 rak'ahs or more, this is all acceptable. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not set any limit for the night prayer. But as we said, that the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing it is that he was making long rak'ahs, and he did not make more than 11 or 13 rak'ahs. And this is how his companions after him did, that they were making also the same number and making it very long. And of course, as I said also, the companions later on have made it 20 rak'ahs, and this is because the people could not stand the long prayer. When we say long prayer, actually it is very long, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was making this prayer, he would recite the whole surah of Al-Baqarah in one rak'ah, and sometimes he might add to it one surah, and that is Al-Umran, the longest surah after Al-Baqarah. And even sometimes he could go into An-Nisa. So this is a long rak'ah. And to make such long rak'ahs, one needs strength of faith, and his body should be strong. If someone cannot make it this long, then he should divide it into more rak'ahs, and substitute the length of his standing by the more ruku' and sujood in prayer, because all this have virtues. To stand longer in prayer have great virtue, and to make more ruku' and sujood have great virtue. And unfortunately, nowadays we find that when Muslims make the Taraweeh prayer, that some of the imams who lead those prayers make them so fast to the degree that they don't give the ruku' and the standing after ruku' and the sujood their proper timing. They don't even do them in the proper way. And they don't give a chance to those who follow them to fulfill their obligations in the prayer. And of course, this is wrong, and this is unlawful. The scholars have said it is undesirable for the leader to make his prayer fast to the degree that the one who is following him cannot fulfill the sunnah of the prayer. So how about if the one who prays behind the imam have no time to fulfill the obligations of the prayer? Of course, this is haram, and this is something which is which is a cause of sin for the imam. And those who pray behind such an imam, they should inform from the first minute, from the first day, that if you will pray in such and such manner, we will not pray behind you, and we will not waste our time behind you. Because to pray in such a manner, where it is so fast that it is not accepted by Allah, there is no use of making this prayer. There is no reward for it. If it is not accepted, then there is no reward for it. So if you make one rak'ah and it is accepted by Allah, that's better. To make at least one rak'ah, which is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is better than standing for the whole night and making 1,000 rak'ahs which are not accepted. So the point is that those prayers are not obligatory, and those prayers should be made with full attention, and should be done in the best way. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who makes the prayers in Ramadan due to his faith and due to his desire in the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how could you be desiring the reward and you also desire to get rid of this prayer as soon as possible and to go on your own to watch some TV or to gossip with others and to say nonsense and so on? This is not desiring the reward. If you desire the reward, then that should mean you should be standing in prayer with your feelings, with your heart feeling good about it. This is the meaning of desiring the reward. If you desire the reward for it, then you should do it in the best way. And otherwise, if you don't do it in the best way, then you are not desiring the reward. You are just doing it to say that I have made the Taraweeh prayer. So that when you go back to your you say, MashaAllah, I have made the Taraweeh prayer. This is nothing. You will not be rewarded for something if you do it for the sake of telling others and for the sake of being praised by people. You will not get any reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because sincerity is a must in all worships. If you do some worship sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then and only then this worship will be rewarded by Allah. But if you don't do it sincerely for the sake of Allah, then don't waste your time. So this is the point. And as I said, that to make the Taraweeh prayer in congregation with the imam until the imam finishes have great reward. You will be rewarded for praying the night fully. The women can go to the masjid for Taraweeh prayer, and as a matter of fact, they can go for any prayer to the masjid. No woman should be prevented from going to the masjid. As long as when she goes out of her house, she has the proper dress on her. She is covered. She will not be a cause of seduction for men. Because this is the way the Muslim woman should be. When she goes out of her house, she should be dressed properly, and she should not have any perfume on her when she is going to be in the presence of men. Now, this is the second major action in Ramadan. There is another thing in Ramadan which the Muslim should be very concerned about, and that is reciting the Quran and being concerned about reciting the Quran and for understanding the Quran. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in his book, that this month of Ramadan is the month of Quran. It's the month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed his book as a guidance and as clear signs. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that this month is the month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have revealed Quran. Therefore you should be concerned about Quran in this month more so. And to recite Quran is something which is an obligation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in his book about those who recite his book and who establish the prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he will reward them fully and he will add to their reward more, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving, most thankful. Now, reciting the book of Allah is of two forms. We have two forms of reciting the book of Allah. The first form, and this is the most important, and that is the reciting by meaning, that is to believe in what we recite and to execute the orders that we understand from the recitation, to believe what we recite and to act upon what we recite, to follow the orders of Allah and to stay away from what he forbids. Now this is the real recitation, which we will talk about inshallah later on. The second recitation is to recite it by tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best one of you is the one who learns Quran and teaches it, who learns it and recites it and who teaches it. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who is good in reciting Quran will be with the honorable angels, and the one who recites the Quran while it is difficult on him will be rewarded twice. One reward for his recitation and one reward for the difficulty that he faces. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed in a true hadith that the believer who recites the Quran is like the fruit which has the nice smell and nice taste, and the believer who does not recite the Quran is like the date which has no smell, but it is of good taste. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith is showing that the believer who recites the Quran is better than the believer who does not recite the Quran. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, recite the Quran, for it will come on the day of judgment as an intercessor for those who recite it. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, shouldn't one of the masjid so that he learns or so that he recites two verses from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is better for him than two camels, and to recite three verses it is better for him than three, and so on. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that reciting each letter of Quran will be rewarded by 10 rewards. To say Alif, Lam, Mim, this is 30 rewards. So this is a great blessing by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whichever group of people who stay in one of the houses of Allah, meaning the mosques, reciting the Book of Allah and studying it amongst them, the mercy will be sent down and the will seek forgiveness for them. So this is the virtue of reciting Quran in general. There are some surahs which have more virtue than others, such as Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Al-Imran, and such as the Fatiha, the opening of the book. And the Prophet ﷺ says that whichever house where you recite Surah Al-Baqarah, the devil will not enter it. And also Ayat Al-Kursi, which is part of Surah Al-Baqarah. And also Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, where it is worth one-third of the Qur'an. And قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, and قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ, and so on. So there are surahs which have more virtue than others in the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by this, inshallah, we have shown how to recite the Quran literally. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه, وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم, والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم, وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise be to Allah. I praise Him, seek His forgiveness. I seek all the support from Allah alone. He who Allah guides, no one leads Him astray. And He who Allah leads astray, no one guides. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we are in the last 10 days of Ramadan, and in those last 10 days of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doubling his worships, and he was doing extra efforts in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing extra effort in those last 10 nights, more so than any other time. And also she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the entrance of the last 10 days, he was tying his clothes, meaning that he was preparing himself for staying up all night or most of the night and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by prayers and remembrance of Allah and reciting the Quran. And she said also that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his first 20 days or 20 nights of Ramadan, he was mixing those nights with prayers and sleep. But when the last 10 days come, he would prepare himself for worshipping Allah and prayers alone. So those hadiths show the virtue of those 10 days, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was indeed becoming more concerned in those 10 nights, and he was doing more effort to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by tying his clothes, meaning that he was preparing himself to stay up all night for prayers and to stay away from his women and other aspects of life. So this is something that the Muslim should know. And Aisha radiallahu anha actually says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not keep on staying up all night, because by doing this, this will spoil your time in the next day, and it will not help you to be strong enough to fulfill your duties next day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not only becoming more concerned by himself, but he was also ordering his wives and his family to become more concerned in those 10 nights and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing prayers and so on. And it is indeed a great loss that we find nowadays most of the Muslims, unfortunately, spend those nights by doing things which are unnecessary, which have nothing to do with worship. For example, many Muslims stay up all night gossiping and maybe playing cards and doing things which are of no benefits for the Muslim. Those nights actually are only 10 nights in a year, and the worship in those nights is of special reward, and especially that there is a night which is considered to be better than 1,000 nights. That is, to worship Allah in that night, you will get the reward for worshiping Allah 1,000 nights. And that is something which is should not be missed by any Muslim. And one does not know. This might be his last Ramadan, and he might not be given another chance next year to take advantage of those 10 nights. And actually, it is the way of the devil to seduce the worshippers of Allah from their worship and to take them away from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by making them keep busy with something which is unnecessary, like gossiping and playing and so on. Now, in those 10 nights, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, as we said, was putting extra effort in worship. He was also doing a worship which is called i'tikaf, and that is to keep staying in the masjid for the purpose of worship alone. So to stay in the masjid for the purpose of prayers and reciting Quran and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So this is the meaning of i'tikaf, and it should be in the mosque, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in his book, وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ, that i'tikaf is in the masjid. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making it a habit that in the last 10 nights of Ramadan he would make i'tikaf. So the i'tikaf is to enter the mosque from the dawn time, for example, or from the sunrise, and keep on staying in the masjid for as many days as one can do. If someone works in the daytime, he can enter the masjid at sunset and stay there until sunrise, and then he can go to his job. Of course, he can sleep in the masjid so that he will have enough strength to go to his job. The fact that he is in i'tikaf does not mean that he should not sleep. He should sleep. Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was making i'tikaf 10 days of Ramadan, the last 10 days, And in his final year, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have revealed to him that it would be his final year, he made 20 days i'tikaf in that year. Also, Anas radiallahu anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said the same thing, the meaning of the hadith. Also, Aisha radiallahu anha said that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intended to make i'tikaf, he would pray the fajr time, the dawn time, then he will enter the place of i'tikaf, and that is a special spot in the mosque. So this was the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to seclude himself in the mosque in those 10 days and to stay away from his family and from other people, and to make those times for worshipping Allah alone. This is the purpose of i'tikaf, that is to seclude yourself from this life for those 10 days as much as you can. Of course, this does not mean that you should not eat and drink and sleep. Of course, you have to eat and drink and sleep to become strong enough to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the one who is in i'tikaf cannot perform any sexual intercourse with his wife, and he cannot do any things which are introductions, such as kissing his wife and so on, because this will be against the purpose of i'tikaf, and that is to make your mind completely in presence of worshipping Allah and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, if someone has to go out of the mosque for some necessity, that is okay. For example, if someone is in i'tikaf and no one can bring him food, he can go out and get his food and come back. If he has to go out for bathroom, he can go out and come back. It should be made in a mosque where the Jum'ah prayer is made also, because that will make him stay in the masjid even at the time of Jum'ah prayer. He doesn't have to go out for Jum'ah prayer. He should not go out for visiting someone, sick people or whatever, sick person or whatever. Because those things are not obligations on him, and of course when he is in i'tikaf he should stay in the masjid, because this is a condition of i'tikaf. So i'tikaf is something which is not an obligation, it is something which is which deserves great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if someone starts his i'tikaf, he can, of course, if he wishes, he can leave the masjid anytime he wants, and that will be breaking his i'tikaf. And many people nowadays, actually, when they perform i'tikaf in the masjid, they perform it in a wrong way. They spend most of their time in the masjid gossiping and sleeping unnecessarily too much, and maybe wasting most of their time in unnecessary services of cooking and so on. So one should bear in his mind that i'tikaf means to seclude yourself in the masjid for the purpose of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this purpose should be fulfilled as much as one can. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The etiquette of fasting is to eat the suhoor, and that is the meal at the end of the night. Now, this is why it is called suhoor, because it comes from the Arabic word sahar, which means the late part of the night.
So therefore, for the Muslim to be eating suhoor, it should be, or preferably it should be, at the last part of the night, that is, as long as it is not Fajr time. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have ordered us to take this meal, that is suhoor. He said, take the suhoor because there is blessing in that. Now, the order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam means to us that this is something which is desired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because all orders of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have this description, and that is whatever he orders is something which is desirable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, besides his order in this hadith, he is further recommending suhoor for us by saying that there is blessing in it. Of course, the blessing in eating the meal of suhoor comes in many ways. The first thing is that when someone intends by this suhoor to follow the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then by this intention he will be blessed by the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his intention to follow the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other blessing is that when he wakes up for suhoor, he is putting some effort in doing so, and all this effort is counted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be getting also different reward for all this effort. By eating the suhoor, he will be making it easier for him to fast. He will be stronger in his fasting, and this is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the believer should be stronger in his fasting, and he should not be suffering as much as he can avoid it. So during the fasting, one might feel weaknesses, and he might feel hungry and so on, but if he takes the suhoor, that will reduce so much the hunger. And of course, to make him strong in his fasting, that is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another blessing which is very valuable is that to eat the suhoor is a way of being different from the fasting people who are non-Muslims, because in their fasting they don't eat the suhoor. And for the Muslim to intend to be different from the non-Muslims, he will gain reward in that, as we have mentioned previously. And another thing is that during the suhoor time, when someone wakes up for the suhoor time, it is a chance for him to feed some needy. And this is also a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a means of gaining the rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is blessing in suhoor, then as you have seen, there are many blessings in eating the suhoor. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the borderline between our fasting and the fasting of the people of the book is to eat the suhoor. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recommended the dates for suhoor. He said the dates are enough of suhoor for the believer, or something to that extent, meaning that he recommends for the fasting person to start his suhoor or to eat his suhoor by eating dates. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that suhoor is all but a blessing, so do not leave it. Even if one of you drinks only one sip of water. So this is something which must be realized by the Muslim, that if he does not desire to eat a whole meal in the suhoor time, then let him wake up at that time and take anything, even if it is a sip of water. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, suhoor is all but a blessing. It is a blessing.